Good morning. It's good to be here with you all today. We pray and read our Bibles. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for letting us come together and read your word. And as we do, I pray that you would speak through your word. That as we read, that you would draw our hearts to you. And that you would transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as we are going through the Old Testament stories, I promised we would be out of Egypt at the end of last week, and we are. So now we're with the people of God in the desert. They're well on their way to the promised land. And in this story, the story we're going to look at today, and you might think it's two when we get into it, it's actually one. When we get into the story today, what we're going to see is that we're going to see something that they are looking for, something that marks every single person who's ever lived. There's nothing special about us in particular or anyone. There's something that connects all of us, and that is that we all look for a spiritual connection, a deep connection. It's with something invisible, something external, something outside of us. We know that there's something outside of us. We know that there's something bigger than us, something that we can't see. Every person in every culture has known that because we want to be connected to it. We want power and guidance and protection. And so every culture in all time, and it's amazing to me that as I've looked at different cultures, even in our time, but just going backwards, you'll find idols, or you'll find witchcraft of some sort, or you'll find a way of almost every culture. There probably is people much wiser than me would be able to point out cultures probably that don't have this, but every culture that I've ever heard of or seen or experienced firsthand has some way of communicating with dead relatives, with people with the dead, with people who have gone before them. Even our culture, I was at my grandmother's funeral in Omaha, in a very civilized, you know, place and town, and at the end of the service, the officiant said, and because she was a faithful member of this community, there will be a candle lit every year for her, communicating with dead relatives. It's part of every culture. We want a connection with external spiritual power, and what we'll see in today's story is that God gives us a connection, a spiritual connection, a deep spiritual connection, a true spiritual connection. He gives his people a way of hearing from him. He reveals his word to them. He reveals himself to them. And he gives a connection with himself to those who are his people. He fulfills this need he's put in us to be connected with something bigger than ourselves. So flip over to Exodus chapter 24. We're going to look at I meant to hang my glasses on my shirt because we have a lot of reading to do. Okay, I will squint. So the stone tablets and the golden calf, that's it's one story. It sounds like two, but it's one. So look at Exodus 24, verse 12, and we're going to cut in the middle of this, but God is speaking to his people. They're in the desert, they're on their way to the promised land, and he's been talking to them, but he deepens the communication, and he connects with them on a level he hasn't up until this point, and he starts establishing himself as their God, and them as their people, his people, and a connection between them and him, a true, deep connection. In verse 12, Exodus 24, the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment that I have written for their instruction." So God has written these tablets. He's going to give them to Moses. That's the neatest thing. So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai and covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called out to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. So God's people were, remember this because it's going to be pertinent in a minute. God's people were at the foot of the mountain looking at that. They were seeing the glory of the Lord that was like a devouring fire, and Moses ascends a mountain with Joshua, and they enter into that. So they're entering into communion with God, and the people are seeing that. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And so, I'm not going to read everything that's said, but God talks to Moses a lot. He tells him what his will is for the people. He gives his word. He gives his instructions for the people. So just flip with your fingers as you go through the next couple of pages. There's page after page and paragraph after paragraph of God speaking to Moses and telling him, this happens as this 40 days and 40 nights, telling him, here is my will, here is my law, here is my word, here is how you have a connection with me. This is what it means to be in a connection with the living God. And then look at verse 31, or chapter 31, verse 18. We'll cut to the end, we'll do a cut shot to the end. And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, so 40 days later, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, so neat, written with the finger of God. That is so, so cool. He gives these tablets to Moses. So he's in the mountain with God. There's a true spiritual connection between him and God and between the people and God, because Moses is a representative of the people. But the people are at the foot of the mountain. They're seeing this. They're seeing not Moses talking with God necessarily, because he's in the cloud that's like a devouring fire. So Moses is in that, but the people are seeing the cloud, and they're seeing the mountain. They're seeing God's presence and Moses in that. It's incredible, and God gives them his word. He gives them the word of God written on these stone tablets. God speaks. That's a big idea. God speaks to his people. God speaks. The all-powerful king of the universe, the supreme being, the largest one of all, the king of the universe, seeks out a connection with his people. He seeks to be connected. We seek to be connected with some higher power, but God seeks to be connected with us and for us to be connected with him, and he speaks to them. He gives them his word. And then, the most ironic thing in the Bible, and if I've said that before, this one trumps it. And if I say it again in the future, I stand by today. This is the most ironic thing in the Bible. God is talking to Moses. He's giving his word for the people. He's establishing this connection between him and them, and they're seeing God's glory on the mountain, and they don't even want to go up there. So Moses goes, they're seeing this. The most ironic thing in the Bible, they're getting connected with the king of the universe. And then they go try to find some other spiritual connection to some other spiritual force. It's the oddest thing. It's the most ironic thing. Look at Exodus 32. It's the golden calf story. And see, you might say, this is two stories in one. You're kind of cheating. We get one story a week. Well, no, I'm not. Because this is, if you're watching this, this is what the camera would be cutting to. Moses is up on the mountain with God. And then at some point, the camera would start cutting to this. It's one thing that's happening at the same time, and that's the irony of it, that both of these, Moses in deep communion with God, getting the word of God given to him for the people, and then the people are doing, well, let's read it. 32, verse 1, Exodus. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around themselves together to Aaron. So Moses' brother, who is the priest, the high priest, said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." You saw him walk up the mountain, and you see God's glory on the mountain. He's communing with God for you. He's getting God's word for you. We don't know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off. You know, sometimes people giving you power and needing you is just too intoxicating. Aaron knew this was wrong, but they came to him and they said, "Make us gods." And now he was in charge, and I think it was just too much for him. He fell in the temptation. And so all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hands of fashion it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." But it wasn't to the Lord, it was to this idol. No, that was me talking. I didn't look up when I said that. That wasn't the Bible, if you're not following along. Okay, verse 6. "And when they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, and the people..." Corinthians says, indulge a pagan revelry. It wasn't just plain Monopoly. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, who Israel, who have brought you up out of the land of Egypt. So Moses is hearing this from God, and we'll see in a minute, it doesn't even register. He doesn't get it until he sees it with his own eyes, because how God's talking to him for the people. The people are seeing this from the earth, and God's saying, no, they made an idol for themselves and they're worshiping it. And that makes absolutely no sense. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 9, I've seen this people, and behold, is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them, I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you. But Moses implored the Lord his God, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember, so he's interceding for the people to God. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. Imagine him having this conversation with God. And there's another little message for us in here, but this isn't where we're going. But the more that we hear from God, the more that we read his word and listen to God, the more we're able to converse with God. Have you ever wondered why my prayers are stale and I don't feel like I'm talking to God? Well, maybe it's because we're not starting with and centering on hearing from God. Because the more we hear from God, the more that is our conversation. And when we talk to God, we're talking to God in line with what he said, and we're conversing with him, not just coming with our list of stuff. Look at verse 14. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. And then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. I think he felt, based on his reaction after this, that, well, things are good now. Things are okay. Tablets that were written on both sides, on the front and the back, they were written. God's word written by God on these tablets. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise, the people, as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the sound of shouting of victory or the sound of the cry of defeat, but it is the sound of singing that I hear. And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Remember last week we said, hey, Moses' angry outbursts were going to be a theme. There it is. He threw the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it in the water and made the people of Israel drink it. What an ironic thing. God giving his word to Moses on the mountain, connecting himself with his people. He was talking to them. He was talking to Moses his word to be passed on to them. They wanted a spiritual connection. So what did they do? They were getting a spiritual connection, the truest spiritual connection. But what did they do? They invented their own path. They found their own spiritual connection, their own way to be connected to God, in quotation marks. And in doing so, in seeking their own spiritual connection, they rebelled against the true God. They didn't get closer to God. They got farther away from God. And God's word that he had given Moses, it was broken. And it wasn't just broken literally or figuratively. It was broken figuratively and literally, both ways. It was broken figuratively because they broke with making this calf. They broke the instructions that God was given. God's word was broken because they broke the instruction that God was giving to Moses. What was one of the first commandments? You shall have no other gods before me. God's word was broken by their action. They were disobeying God. And then God's word written on the tablets was literally broken. Because what did Moses do? Because of the rebellion, and I think this was a sinful reaction on his part. We could debate that, but there probably isn't much debate, right? He broke the word of God on the ground, literally breaking God's word. They lost their connection with God. God wanted to destroy them. God wanted to smite them all in that moment and make a new nation with Moses. And then he did. Didn't smite them all, but they were they were punished. Many of them died because of this rebellion against God. God punished them. But even more incredibly than all of this, after this was over, God continued speaking to them. Now, if that isn't grace, what is? These people who, while God was giving his word to them, rebelled against him and made a different God, and then God punishes them, but then God continues talking to them. He comes back and seeks to establish the connection with them once again. He shows himself to Moses in a way that he hadn't even up until that point. Look at Exodus 34, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first," a little deja vu, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablet. So the first time God had made the tablets, had them ready, written on them, they were ready, gave them to Moses. This time Moses was going to cut the tablets and then take them to the mountain, and God would write the law on them, which you broke. Be ready by the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai. Present yourself there to me on top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you. And let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flock or herds graze opposite the mountain. God's setting his holiness, his standard, his respect me. I'm God. Verse 4, so Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first. He rose up early in the morning, went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him. His connection with God passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, the children's children on the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. That's grace. God comes back to them. People who really don't deserve it. Never did it in the beginning, much less now. And he reestablishes a connection with them. And he gives them his word again. He gives them his word. He writes it on the tablet. So God sends his word, and man rebels against him. And then God's word is broken, both in the letter of the law and the actual word of God broken on the ground. And then God continues speaking to them and sends his word again. God speaks to his people. That's a incredible story, right? What does it have to do with us? Well, just like them, and just like everybody who's ever lived, we seek a spiritual connection. And not just you and I, but everybody we work with and everybody that's around us and everybody in our family. We want to be connected to something. We know there's something bigger. We want power and guidance and protection. And we want to be connected with whatever that is. And we collectively, in Lincoln, Nebraska today, we look for a spiritual connection in so many different ways. And even you might be here today and you might seek God through this way. You might also seek him. You might read your horoscope, and I want a little, just a little glimpse of something, that little help. What's going to come later on today, or maybe you have little lucky charms, not the cereals, the things, you know, the things that it's like this. I need this with me. It won't work if I don't have this. Or maybe you believe in some form of, because most of us do in our hearts, some form of, you know, kind of karma, luck. If I'm good to you, then you'll be good to me, and then things will come around, and it just, there's a force in nature that works itself out. That's not true, but I'm just saying, right? These are things that we believe that, or spirituality. Have you ever talked to someone who's really spiritual, but they never mention Jesus? And so you think you're kind of on the same page because it's spiritual and it's God and it's connection, it's being good, and it's, but where's Jesus? It's spirituality without Jesus. Or maybe it's something maybe we do. Maybe not you, but maybe some of us, maybe I do. Not confessing, just using God as kind of like a magic genie in a bottle. And I pray and I get what I want. I keep praying and I get what I want. And if he doesn't give me what I want, then I'm mad at him. But the next time I need something, I'll pray and I get what I want. Not as much as a relationship, but just I know where to go when I can't control things and I need things to come back into order. And no matter how we look, no matter where we turn, we can't find it. Our systems of luck and good vibrations and karma leave us empty because they're not real. They don't resolve the true problems of life and death, and we end up without a true connection with God. Like the people of Israel, they wanted a true connection with God. And the idea of that story is the idea for us too. God speaks to his people. God speaks. He seeks out a true connection with us, and that we would be in a true connection with him. And his search to be connected with us took the form of a man. It took the form of a man. God sent his word, his living word, to dwell among us. God, the God who speaks and speaks to his people and gives his word to his people, sent his son. That's Jesus. That's where we find Jesus in this story. Jesus is the word of God that was given to his people. Jesus is the word of God. Look at John chapter 1. Look at how the apostle John talks about Jesus. All the different things he could say about him. Look at the adjective that he uses, or the actually noun. Look at the word he uses to say who Jesus is. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's talking about Jesus. Look at verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is the one of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. And from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." God sends his word, like he did to Moses on the mountain when he gave him the tablets with his word written on them. But now his word, we're not inanimate tablets. His word was his son, Jesus. Jesus incarnate became the word of God incarnate. God, Jesus identifies as the word of God. It's God's word as a person, not in a person, as a person. Jesus is the word of God, and God spoke and speaks through him. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 1. I miss my other Bible with the tabs in it, right? Makes me look smarter than I am. Okay. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. You could include Moses in that, right? But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. The word of God, Jesus. God speaks through Jesus. The voice of Jesus is the voice of God, and the person of Jesus is the word of God. And just like in the desert, when the word of God was broken, figuratively and literally, by the Israelites and by Moses, by their rebellion, the word of God, Jesus, the living word of God, was also broken. God's word was broken by our rebellion, figuratively, because we disobey him and break his word. We break God's word, just like the Israelites did when they broke the word of God. They disobeyed him. They did what he said not to do. And Jesus was literally broken by our rebellion. He was broken not in the angry outburst of a man smashing into the ground, but the word of God, Jesus, was broken by his Father in a clear-headed, calmly collected, planned before the beginning of time moment on the cross when he was hung up and his blood was drained out and he died. The word of God was broken to pay the price of our punishment, the punishment of our disobedience to the Father, of us breaking God's word, caused God's word to be broken. Think about that for a minute. And God's word being broken, well, made a way that we could be connected to the Father and have a true connection to God. When Moses broke the tablets, that was symbolic of the connection with God being broken. When Jesus was broken on the cross, that was not symbolic of. That was God actually opening a way that we could have a true connection with him. Through him, we can have a connection to God. We can't say those words without reading John 14. Look at John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. The true spiritual connection, true spiritual guidance, and true spiritual power and true spiritual protection doesn't come from reading your horoscope to see what's coming up tomorrow. It doesn't come as wonderful it is to be nice to other people. It doesn't come by being good to other people, because then nature will make good come back to you. It doesn't come by some mysterious power. It doesn't come from out-of-body hallucinations. It comes through the Word of God, through Jesus. Jesus is our true connection to the Father. Through Him, we can have a connection to God. That big idea is God speaks to us through Jesus. God, the God who speaks to His people, He speaks to us through Jesus. He sent His Word so that we could enter into a relationship with Him. And just like when Moses, after the Word of God was broken, and the people broke God's Word, and Moses smashed the Word of God at the feet of the mountain, just like after that was broken, God continued to speak to His people. He graciously continued to speak to them. God still speaks through us, the living Word of God. Jesus speaks to God's people. Even today, there's two ways that He said He speaks. Look at John chapter 16. This comes on the tale of Jesus for the last several chapters in John, telling His disciples, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send my Spirit. I'm going to ask the Father, and He's going to send the Spirit. You're going to be, He's going to dwell in you. He'll be with you forever. And then look at what He says in verse 12, chapter 16, verse 12. I have many things to say to you. So isn't that, just think about that. The Word of God, Jesus, said, I have many things to say to you. That's God's Word. But you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, this is what Jesus has been talking about throughout the last several chapters. He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak, so the Spirit will speak. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it. So there's a speaking that God, the Word of God will continue to speak even after Jesus is gone, because through His Spirit He will speak to His followers. All that the Father has is Mine, and therefore I said He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. The Spirit of God inhabits in the children of God, and Jesus says He takes what is Mine and He declares it to you. He will connect you with Me. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit in you, will connect you with Me, and He'll guide you and He will teach you. Jesus speaks, and He speaks through His Word. If there was a primary concrete way of how do I hear God, it's this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at what Paul says about this book. Look at verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. God breathed out the words that you hold in your hand. It's His Word. It's God's Word. It's the Word of Christ. It's the Word of the Word of God. God speaks to us when we read this. God speaks to us today. That's the big idea. Everything we've seen today, He speaks to us. We can hear His voice through His Spirit, through His Word. We can have a connection, a real connection with God as Father and children. So, what's the application with that? We should live in the connection. We should live in a deep connection with God. We should have a deep spiritual connection with God. But, okay, in the same way that we don't have to seek out our own systems and figure out a way to be connected with God, in order to live in a deep connection with God, we have to do something. We have to do something to live in that connection. It doesn't just happen magically by itself. If you aren't a Christian, if you've never repented and been baptized and given yourself to Jesus, listen, you have to receive the Word of God. That's what this story is about for you. It's about receiving the Word of God. You're like the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, seeking your own way to God, but He's already sent His Word, and His Word was broken for you so that you could draw near to the Father. You have to enter into that connection. You have to decide, I want to receive God's word, the word Jesus. I want to give myself to him and decide to follow him. I'll repent, I'll be baptized, and as I do that, I'm accepting him as my Savior and Lord, and you will become God's child. You'll be connected to him for the rest of your life and for all of eternity, and you will have his spirit inside of you. And if you already are a Christian, listen, this story has the most practical application for you and I. We should read this. That's what we should do. We should be people who are always reading this. This should never be far from us. Say, well, I don't carry my Bible with me. I have my phone and YouVersion. The Bible's in there. Many translations, languages. Pick one. We should always have this with us. Whatever form, whatever way we carry it with us on our phone or on this, we should have it with us and we should read it. We should read our Bible, not just every day, multiple times throughout the day. We should end our days and start our days. And when we're frustrated in the middle of our days, we should read this. And then we should memorize parts of it. We should commit this to memory. And we should hide it in our hearts. We should hide God's word in our hearts that we might not sin against him. That we should memorize parts of the Bible. We should meditate on what we read, not just read and close it. We should be like the person who looks in the mirror and then does something. So we should meditate on what we've read. We should be people who are just bathed in this, not on Sundays. I know we read a lot of it in this half an hour, but that's a half an hour. That's all of us together, and we get distracted. And it's all every day, all the time. We should read this. So my question, if you're a Christian, God speaks to you. What can you do to read the Bible more? Because that's the most practical way to live in the connection that God has with you. And then like Moses, your prayers will change. And as you talk to God, it will be talking and communicating with him, not just giving him a list of things to do. Reading our Bibles, that's what we should do. Why don't we stand and we'll pray and then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. You are so kind and loving and gracious, and you speak to us and you seek us out and you want a connection with us. And as we flounder and seek spirituality for different paths, you've given us the way to find you. Thank you for Jesus, your word that was broken for us. So God, I pray that you would help us to be a people who live in your word, not just to know stuff and figure stuff out, but to hear your voice and to know you better and to absorb your heart and to become more like you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.